If you have your Bibles this morning, if you want to open up to 1 Samuel chapter 14, if you don't have that on, you don't have your Bibles, and you can find it on your smart device, I'm sure. Before I get into the passage, I want to just thank the praise team Ed and Vince. They did a great job today. Amen. Appreciate it. And also, I want to thank Ellie for the work in the ladies' ministry. Yeah. And pray for Jim and Nellie. They got their daughter's wedding coming up in a couple of weeks. So I'm sure they're looking forward to that great celebration. You know, there's an old saying that says, you are what you eat, right? You are what you eat. For some of us, it's easy to see. For others, believe it or not, there's people who could eat a lot more than me, and they stay skinny. Brandon. Life's not fair, right? But, you know, you are what you eat. I want to suggest to you this morning that even more than that, you are what you believe. Do you hear that? You are what you believe. And you know, you may say to me, well, Pastor, I don't believe anything. Yeah, you do. You do. Even if you're an atheist, you believe something, correct? And it always, I'm always marveling at why an atheist who doesn't believe in God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit gets so angry if they don't think he exists. It's always puzzled me. I don't know. However, you are what you believe. And in saying that, I'm saying we're perfect in any way or anything like that, but it will show itself ultimately in life, because belief is never stagnant. I want to suggest to you that a belief that's stagnant is not belief at all. It is just head knowledge. You can know something, correct? And it doesn't affect you one way or another, right? Right? How many of you know the all-time winner of Jeopardy? What's his name? You all know that. Let me ask you a question. Does it make any difference in your life? He didn't share. He didn't share. I want to spend a little time with you on this issue of faith this morning, because in this passage, it's a short passage, God typically uses comparisons. In this case, it's father and son. It's Saul and Jonathan. Saul's king, not a very good one, of Israel right now. And Jonathan, who seems to have a really, really good grasp on what biblical faith looks like. Saul has a grasp at what faith in himself looks like. Now listen. The reason why I'm approaching this way is simply this. Even in the evangelical church, and I'll speak for the evangelical church because that's what we're a part of. Even in the evangelical church, we tend to catch our culture like we catch a cold. And before you know it, things that the culture is saying is okay is starting to creep into the church when the Bible clearly says it's not okay. And we start to say, it's all right, you know, God, no, it's just not okay. And we'll look at some of those examples in a minute, but it happens very easily. How many of you wake up in the morning and say, today I'm going to catch a cold? I hope not. I mean, if you do, we got to talk, right? You know, you wake up in the morning, you don't expect to catch a cold, but you go out, you work among people. Some of you work with sick people. I'm talking physically sick. Okay. Some of you work with, in offices and all, and you're going to catch something somewhere. But more dangerous than that is what we catch from the culture, and we start to think it's okay when it violates the word of God. So, let's take a look at some principles here. We're going to see the two contrasting styles. Saul has a big problem with pride and ego. And when you mix pride and ego with somebody who believes in themselves, the bottom line is you get a coward. Does that make sense? You get a coward in a lot of ways. Jonathan, on the other hand, has a humble heart, very open to God. And this is one of those rare instances where the dad didn't provide a good example for the son, but the son turned out good. By God's grace, the son turned out good. So in this passage, both of them are facing a big challenge called the Philistines. How many of you have entered into some life's challenges that you believed were insurmountable? Nobody? Everybody. And if you haven't been there, it's coming. It's coming. Don't go looking for it. You know, it'll find you. But it's coming. We're going to see in this passage just two principles that I wanted you to catch hold of that God gives us to apply, that we can apply by faith when we're facing some challenges. Now listen, faith is never, ever a passive word. Faith always exhibits itself in action. If you believe in something and you don't put it in action, it really means you don't have faith. Isn't that true? I've been guilty of that. Maybe you have too. Where'd I put my clicker? Oh, it's over there. It happens when you get over 60. Okay. Almost 70. Does it? Okay. Let me read this for you, okay? One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, the armor bearer was kind of the general of the army that followed him. Jonathan says, come, let us go over to the Philistines' outpost on the other side. But he did not tell his father. Isn't that interesting? Jonathan just felt led to do this. And he goes on to say that Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah. Now, the Philistines are mounting up for battle. Okay, that's the context here. Under a pomegranate tree in Migron. Well, you're commanding an army. You don't stay under a tree. All right? With him were about 600 men, which was a meager force. Most of the men prior, if you remember, abandoned them. Last time we spoke. Among them was Ahijah, who was wearing an ephod, that's a symbol of, that he was a priest. But look at this. He was the son of Ichabod's brother, Anatub, son of Phinehas. Remember Phinehas? Corrupt priest. The son of Eli? Corrupt priest. Listen, these guys were corrupt. And so here's Saul. He didn't learn his lesson already. And he looks for counsel from a corrupt priest. It's not a good thing. How many times people today look for counsel from people who have no idea what Scripture says, who have no wisdom in the things of God? Boy, if you need advice, you can advertise that on Facebook, you can advertise that anywhere. People will stand in line to tell you. But when it comes to the principles of God, well, that's a different story. So Saul surrounding himself here with bad people. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. On each side of the pass Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez. I don't know what these names mean, by the way. I didn't have time to look it up this week. And the other, Shena. On one cliff stood to the north of Michmash. The other one toward the south of Geba. Did you get these? You're going to get a quiz on this. Okay. Jonathan said to his younger armor bearer, come, let us go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men, those Philistines. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. You never heard that word out of Saul. Jonathan is saying, let's go see what the Lord wants us to do here. We got to seek the Lord. He kind of does a Gideon thing here, okay? He says, nothing can hinder the Lord from saving whether by many or few. And he's saying, if the Lord is in this, we're going to know it. We're going to know it. If he's not in this, we're not doing it. And that's basically what he's saying here. He says, do you all have in mind, his armor bearer said, go ahead, I am with you heart and soul. This is the guy who's all in. I am with you heart and soul. Jonathan said, come on, we will cross over toward them and let us see, let them see us. If they say to us, wait there and until we come to you, we will stay where we are and not go up to them. Okay, you got that? That means God's not in this, right? But here you go. It says, but if they say, come up to us, we will climb up because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands. Now, Jonathan had a pretty good head on his shoulders. And more than that, he had a great heart for the Lord. So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Look, said the Philistines, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes they were hiding in. And, you know, they're kind of sneering now. The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson. Well, that's all Jonathan needed to hear, right? He said, Lord's in this. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. This was an incredible battle with just a few people over a powerful army. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in the area of about a half an acre. Oh. Someone once said, all you need is the faith of a mustard seed. That comes from a pretty reliable source. His name was Jesus. Right? The first principle I saw in this passage was this. Biblical faith is an act of faith. Active, not passive. Biblical faith is not for couch potatoes. Biblical faith is an act of faith. Why do I say that? Because you will ultimately do what you believe. You will ultimately do that. There's no getting around it. You will ultimately do what you believe. Active faith is based upon the promises of God found in His Word. That makes sense? Shout to the Lord, all the earth. That whole thing is built around the promises of God. Faith is built on the known promises of God in His Word. Wow. You know what that means? That means by faith, I believe that God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that ought to show in my life. By faith, I believe marriage is between a biological man and a biological woman. And that ought to show in my life. By faith, I believe marriage is sacred. And that ought to show in my life. By faith, I believe God created everyone in His image. That means in the kingdom of God, there's no room for prejudice. That ought to show in my life. I believe by faith that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, that He came to die for my sin. I believe that by faith. And He did that because He loved me and He loved you. And He went in my place on the cross. I believe that by faith. So that I can be forgiven and have eternal life. That ought to show in our lives. Too many times, the world can't tell us apart from them and from us. Because culture creeps in. And we begin accepting things that we wouldn't accept. Faith is active based on the principles and morals of God found in His Word. Morals. You don't have to go very far, by the way. You go back to the Ten Commandments, right? Morals. Not only that, if you say, okay, the Ten Commandments is Old Testament, they still have application for today. Jesus summed it up in this way. Love the Lord your God with all your what? Heart, your soul, your mind, and your might. That sounds like a buy-in to me, right? Remember the armor bearer? I'm with you heart and soul. God, I'm with you heart and soul by faith because I believe in your promises. I believe in your promises. Active faith is based on a right relationship between us, God, through faith alone in Jesus Christ. A growing act of faith is based on a growing love affair with Jesus. One of the things I think we suffer for, and there's, two areas I think we suffer primarily. Our faith could only be as strong as the effort we put into reading and digesting the Word of God and applying and letting the Holy Spirit apply it to our lives and prayer. And prayer. You take away either one of those, our faith starts to weaken, doesn't it? You get bombarded from the media and from our culture with all sorts of things. You know, it's amazing, you know, looking back. One of the advantages of being old is looking back and saying, we would have never entertained this 15 years ago in the church. So why is it okay now? Why is it okay? One of the biggest things I think we're going to be held accountable for, when I say we, I'm talking about the evangelical church in general, is we've lost the passion for evangelism. We've lost the passion to build relationships with unbelievers and love them. We lost the passion to earn the right to share the love of Christ with other people. Listen, I got news for you. In today's culture, no one's going to walk through the doors of a church. No one. You know who's going to come through? People who bring people they built relationships with. Nobody's going to just walk in out of the blue. It doesn't happen. And if it does happen, it's usually people wanting some help with food or clothes and stuff. And that's okay. You know, we can do that. However, the commission, God, and Jesus knew this, the commission that Jesus gives to us is go into your world, out of these four walls, and do what? Make disciples. Teaching them all that I have taught you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them. Whoa. So the questions we have to ask going forward, Lord, is my faith active? We read in the beginning of service from Romans. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. How dare I be ashamed of the gospel? Because God loved me so much, he saved a wretch like me. How dare I be ashamed of the gospel? You know, sharing the gospel by faith, also it takes a little bit of work of a missionary. What I mean by that is this. We have to learn and hear the questions people are asking out there. And not only do we have to learn and hear the questions people are asking out there, but we need to speak their language also. Can't speak Christianese. Most people, if I were to go out this afternoon and I were to ask random people what sin is, what I did, oh, thank you. He knows I fall. If I were to ask people what sin is, I get a million different answers. Some of which would be, there's no such thing. It's all relative. Well, who's relative? You know, who sets the standard? Is there only one way to God? Through faith in Jesus Christ. You'll get all sorts of answers. Oh, all roads lead to God. Oh, really? A lot of roads can lead to the cross. But the cross is the only way to God. And we get into this stuff. Now listen, we're all facing challenges, every single one of us. But how we face those challenges should be an indicator of what we believe. God really allows us to go through some of these challenges to show us, do we really believe what we say? Isn't that true? I've come up short sometimes. How about you? The second thing I see in this passage is this, that when we have our head on straight and we're, with the help of the Holy Spirit, putting our faith into action, and whatever good comes out of that, we will find ourselves not taking glory for any accomplishments, but glory will be given to God. Glory will be given to God. Because, thank you. You know what happens? When we're acting on faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't care that we get any credit. We don't care. The only thing we care about is that God gets the credit. You know? Bill, you go into the nursing home just a little bit. Okay? I know you have a tough floor. But the Bible says even a child could understand the gospel. And thank you for being so faithful, you and your team, for going and doing what you do, because you may never even know. But when you get into heaven, you'll know. You'll know. God forbid we stop being faithful. Excuse me one second. There was a manager, I'm going to bring sports. So I know some of you don't like sports, but bear with me for a minute. There was a manager of the New York Yankees for a while. He was a good manager, Buck Showalter. Some of you might remember Buck Showalter. If you watch when he managed, when he was with the Yankees or any other team, he would always have a notebook with him. And he would write notes. And he never made a big deal out of it, but you know, the cameramen would see this and all. And they thought he was making notes about the players and the games. And he said, no. He says, actually can learn a lot about personalities and how people interact with one another. And he read one of the statements he wrote down. He says this. He says, we can accomplish great things when we don't care who gets the credit. Now, most of you know baseball players are prima donnas, right? Making far more money than they probably deserve. But Buck Showalter hit it on the head. We can all accomplish great things when we don't care who gets the credit. How much more if we go forward and by faith do what God calls us to do, and God starts to accomplish great things in and through us, heaven forbid we say, look at what we did. We say, no, look at what he did. Look at what he did. Saul, man, he's at the point now where he's taking credit for everybody else when they do good. He's taking credit for it. Not only is he taking credit for it, he's got a big pride issue. He's got a big ego issue, which always equates into a coward. And so many times now, from here on out, until God takes the kingdom away from him, you'll find him hiding and playing it safe. Playing it safe. Listen, faith is risky business. Isn't it? Faith is risky. Let me just illustrate that, and I'll tie this up. How did you all get here today? Most of you drove, right? Okay. Does it take faith to get into a car? When you come to the first traffic light or stop sign, you press on that brake pedal, you have faith that the car's going to do what? Hopefully, right? If not, it's not going to work well, right? It's not going to have a good outcome, right? When you got here, you sat in a chair. For some of us, it takes a lot of faith. Because we're trusting that chair is going to hold us. Correct? All right? How many of you have been on an airplane recently? Several of you. Okay. When you get on that airplane, do you think the pilot wants to crash? I hope not. He doesn't want to crash, right? All right? But listen, planes are machines. Pilots are human. Machines can fail. People can fail. How many of you have gone to a physician recently? Okay. How many of you have gotten prescriptions recently? How many of you brought it to the pharmacy? That's a whole lot of trust, isn't it? You go into a physician having faith that they're going to diagnose you correctly. That's number one. Number two, you have faith that he's going to prescribe the right medicine. And number three, you have faith that when you bring it to the pharmacy, they're going to put the right medicine in it. Man, that's a lot of faith. You know your doctor, but you probably don't really know your pharmacist real well, right? Now listen, cars can fail. People can fail. Doctors can fail. Pharmacists can fail. Teachers can fail. I mean, we're not infallible. God will never fail. So if we can have the promise, if we can have faith in his promises and live by them, with him, we can face any challenge that comes our way. You know why? Because he's not going to leave us. He hasn't forgotten us. We sang that about that all morning, haven't we? But he does promise to walk with us through it. But here's the catch. He's going to say, come on, take my hand and walk my way. And then it's our decision. If we don't take his hand and we do it our way, we're going to make it worse. It always happens. It always will happen because only God knows what's best for us. So what battles and situations are you and I facing today? Will we rely on our own wisdom, power, and strength? Nobody here does that, right? Or will we look to God for his wisdom, his strength, his guidance, his word? Will we talk to him in prayer? Will we shut our mouth and let him talk to us through that still small voice? Now listen, one last disclaimer here. God will never, ever tell you to do anything that violates his word. So if you leave here today and you say to me, God told me to go rob TD Bank, guess what? That wasn't God talking. Or you leave here today and you say to me, hey, guess what? You know, God told me to do something that's against his will. That's not God talking. That's either your own flesh and sinfulness, or somehow the devil got into your mind. We're going to talk a little bit more about spiritual warfare in the coming weeks. But spiritual warfare is very real. Once you become a believer in Jesus Christ and a follower, you enter a battle. We enter a battle. We're all in it, whether we like it or not. And we'll talk more about that coming up. The victory is faith. The victory is following Jesus. The victory is relying on the promise of his word. There's an old song, Sharon, if I misquote it, let me know. It's called Faith is the Victory, right? Faith is the victory that overcomes what? The world. You know why? Because Jesus overcame sin, Satan, and death the moment he died on the cross. So it's our choice whether we take his hand or not. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up.